You know, I haven't always been vegan. Do you know that? In fact, there were days when I didn't even know that there was a difference between clean and unclean meat, you know? Yeah. And we'd eat just about anything that we could get our hands on. My father was a construction worker and didn't always have work. And so we would go out and do some hunting. So I'd grab a little shotgun and we'd go out with the little dogs. We had beagles, little beagle dogs. You know, of course, that the only real dogs have long ears. Those are the only kind that are real dogs, at least for me. So we would go out and we'd go hunting, and I remember we'd go walking through the fields and the woods and things and scare up a rabbit, and the dog would take off after that rabbit, and he would bark, burr, and he'd bark out here, burr, and he'd bark out here, burr, and when he was starting to make the circle, he'd be on the outside of the rabbit, and he'd be running the rabbit on the outside edge. And he'd keep running the rabbit around, so when the rabbit jumped, I'd find a place to sit down. Because I'd know sooner or later my dog would run that rabbit right around in a circle and bring him right back by me. And so when the dog was coming back around this way, you know, he wasn't all the way certain where I was, because I might have moved, or, you know, where was I exactly as he's going through the woods. So I'd say, "I'm here, Jed. I'm right here. Come on, boy." And he would hear me. And we'd work together, and pretty soon that rabbit would come by, and you'd just take the rabbit out as he went by. Because the dog knew to back off. So you'd get a rabbit, and we'd have rabbit that night. I can't tell you how many times my father bit into some BBs, you know what I mean? It was always him that found the BBs, I don't know why. Anyway, so we would do that. So sometimes I'd go out, though, and I'd be just going to a friend's house. But Jed, boy, he was right there. He'd be right beside me, and he'd want to go. And I'd be walking out of the yard and say, "Jed, you can't come. Can't come, Jed." And he'd be trotting beside me. "Gonna go. We're gonna go." "No, Jed, can't go." And then I'd have to say, "Jed, go home." You could almost see him say, you don't love me anymore. Haven't I been faithful?" Yeah, you've been faithful. But he'd get that look in his eye, you know? He'd get that look in his eye. Turn with me to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Let's take in a little bit of the backstory to our scripture from today. Mark chapter 5, are you with me? Should be a Bible there somewhere. In your hand that you brought, or in the pew, or on your phone, or someplace there. Grab a Bible. Mark chapter 5. Begin with verse 1, are you with me? Mark chapter 1 and verse 5. Chapter 5, verse 1. "Then they came to the other side of the sea." They had crossed over the Sea of Galilee. If you've got YouVersion, you can jump down there to the link and you'll see the map, okay? So they crossed over the sea from the west side to the east side of the lake, the Sea of Galilee, the Lake of Galilee there, to the country of the Gadarenes. "And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit." So you can imagine what this guy was going through. He lives in the cemetery. Uh-huh. That's not where you want to live. Just in case you were wondering. And he comes out of the tombs and comes rushing at Jesus and the disciples. Comes rushing down at them. He was dwelling among the tombs, but you know what happened. Verse 12, are you with me? Where Jesus met him, was not afraid, did not run, and there ensues this conversation. Verse 12, and all the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. And as you look at that map there, you can see why they would be herding swine. Did you ever wonder that? Why would it be that they would be herding swine? I thought swine were unclean, right? What's the deal with herding swine? Well, they were on the far side of the Jordan now, on the other side. And so this had been a Greek enclave there. It had been a place where Greeks had settled in during the diaspora, during the dispersion there. And after the captivity, the Greeks had settled there. When Israel came back, they weren't really on that side very much. This was Greeks over there. They had pigs. And so that was what was going on. This was a place for Gentiles. This guy who came down out of the tombs was almost certainly a Gentile. So the demons asked, send us into the pigs. Send us into the pigs. Verse 15. So the pig herders, what do you call pig herders? Shepherds, I know, herd sheep. What do you call people that herd pigs? I don't know. Pig herders? Swineherds? Is that what you call? I don't know. Anyway, so here they come. Verse 14, they came to him. And in verse 15, it says, they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed. So they saw this guy who was out there living in the tombs, screaming and yelling, running at anybody who got around him. And here he was, they see him there, and he had the legion, and it says he was sitting and clothed and in his right mind. You see, he was left-handed. Sorry. And bizarrely, here he had been yelling, screaming, attacking anyone who came after him, right? And that didn't seem to bother them. But now that he's sitting and clothed and in his right mind, what does it say about these swine herders? And they were afraid. What is that? Now they're afraid. I'll tell you what that is. They knew they were in the presence of somebody who was bigger than those demons. They were in the presence of God. Jesus was there. And so here it is. They were afraid. Drop down now to verse 18. Verse 18. And it says in chapter 5, verse 18. There we go. My page had turned. And when he got into the boat, now Jesus has been there for how long? A couple hours maybe. Talked with this fellow. And when the disciples and everybody, saw when they got ready to get in the boat, when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. Think about that for just a minute. Jesus was about to leave. And I know it's not analogous exactly, analogous, but think about it in terms of Sabbath. And we're just about to have those Sabbath hours depart when we're especially with the Lord. Do we beg the Lord for just a few more minutes of Sabbath? Yeah, think about that for a while. So there we are. He's begging Jesus that he might be with him. Lord, let me go with you. Let me go with you. I have found such blessing being in your presence, Lord. Let me be with you. And praise the Lord, that's what's happening here. We are here in this place on this holy day because we want to be with the Lord. That's what it's about, that relationship with Jesus. We want that relationship with Jesus, and he has told us in his word how to do that. We keep the Sabbath, yes? And so here we are, this guy begging Jesus to be with him. Wow, what a story. And then it just so reminds me of my little dog looking up at me. I'm with you. Let's go. And here Jesus, I can't help but think of that as painful for Jesus too. You know what I mean? And in verse 19 it says, however, Jesus did not permit him. Wow. That'd have been tough. That'd have been really tough. He'd only been with this guy a few hours. Who knows exactly how long, but only a very short time. Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, what? Go home. Go home. And I don't think Jesus said it meanly or, you know, with any kind of a bite to his voice. Not at all. Jesus was inviting him to go home because he had to work for him, didn't he? Take a look at it. Jesus had to work for him, and he sends him where? Home. He sends him home. In fact, the various translations are not in agreement exactly on this, how to translate this little section right here. One of them says, go home to your family. The New Living Testament translation says, go home to your family. Brothers and sisters, if we love Jesus, who should know it more than anybody else? Our families. Our families. Ooh, I hear story after story about people who come to church and they're all smiley and nice until they get in the car on the way home. Didn't I tell you? You embarrassed me in front of all those people. We hear that kind of stuff, huh? That's scary, isn't it? That's scary. The people in our home should hear the voice of Jesus more than anyone else. They should know our love for the Lord more than anyone else. We are to go home with a message of Jesus. That's where we need to take it first. To those that we're closest to those we live with day in and day out. 34 years, you heard Elder Taylor, where is he? You heard Elder Taylor say today, 34 years, my wife has put up with me. Can you imagine? Wow. I tell you, I've heard the voice of Jesus. Because she has been kind to me, you know? I don't want to know what that joke was that just went over there. I don't even want to know. But we need to take it home to our friends that we look, sound, act, and talk like Jesus. That's where it needs to go first. Now, the New King James Version that was read for us this morning says, go home to your friends, those people that we associate with. We go out fishing with them, right? Or maybe we go, Lou, where's Lou? We go fishing with them, right? So we have that opportunity, or maybe we play tennis with them. We go home to our friends, right? We take it to those that we associate with right where we live. That's what it's all about. Those people that are nearest to us. We just had a new family move into our neighborhood. He is a Presbyterian minister. We can take it to him. We can take it to those around us, right? Those right around our homes, right in our circle of friends. And then the NIV says your own people. Go home to your own people. So maybe it's the folks you work with, or maybe it's people that are around you, around our church perhaps. We take it to our own people right around us. We are to go home with this message. That's what we're here for. Do you think Jesus needed to cross that lake for himself? What did he do? He went over there, he healed this guy, and in verse 19, he's ready to leave again already. That was it. That's all he went there for. He didn't go there because he was going to eat dinner with someone. He didn't go there because he had some gift that was going to be given to him. He went there for the love of someone else. Someone else who was so degraded, he didn't just have one demon, he had a whole legion. That's how much Jesus loves. That's the work we are called to do, to live like Jesus. Right in our homes, right in our families, right with our friends, right with our people. That's where we live, like Jesus. And it says then, verse 19, are you with me? Go home to your friends and do what? Sit and enjoy the blessings of a relationship with the Lord. Is that what it says? Well, he told him to go home, so he meant go home, close the door, and enjoy fellowship with Jesus, right? Keep it to yourself. Huh? No. No, it says tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. Has the Lord done good things for you? Amen. Has the Lord done good things for you? Amen. Now, I understand that you're not demon possessed. But, but you also understand that without the same grace that was ministered to that demon-possessed man, you are just as lost. Lord. Right? All of us are just as lost without that same grace of Jesus Christ crossing the sea for you and I as was a demon-possessed man. Right. It's only a matter of degrees. Whether I run off the cliff or accidentally topple off the cliff, I'm still just as dead when I hit the ground, huh? Thank you, Lord. Amen. Doesn't matter which way. I'm still as gone. Without that grace of Christ, I'm still lost. Amen. Has the Lord done great things for you? Yes. Amen. Absolutely. Holding your finger there, looking at Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Moses was involved in getting the law in Deuteronomy chapter 10. And God was telling him a little bit about why the law was important. Deuteronomy chapter 10. And look with me. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 21. Are you with me? Amen. Deuteronomy 10 verse 21. He, meaning God, is your praise and he is your God. Who has done for you what? These great things. What did God done? What had God done? Seriously, what had God done for Israel? Well, nothing more than take them out of slavery, right? Bring them through the Red Sea with a wall of water on both sides. You ever wonder what fish looked and thought as they looked out through that edge of water going, what's going on? I mean, God hadn't done anything real special, had he? Just parted the Red Sea. Right? God did great things for them, yes? God did awesome things. God, who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen. Has God done great things for the Lakeland Seventh-day Adventist Church? Amen. Absolutely. Did we see great and awesome things last week? Amen. Awesome stuff. Awesome stuff God is doing. God is doing wonderful things for us just the same. Which is easier for God? Which is easier for God, parting the Red Sea or opening a heart? Getting a heart that's been stoned, maybe even demon-possessed, to open up and turn to Him. Really, is the Red Sea the biggest thing? Or when I changed my heart because I yielded to God and decided to follow Him, which was really the bigger miracle? Because the Red Sea really doesn't have a choice in this matter, does it? When the Creator speaks, the waters part, yeah? But for some reason, God has given me free choice. And God can call me and I can refuse, can't I? So which is the greater miracle? That God can get through a thick skull like mine? Absolutely, huh? Or parting the Red Sea. God has done greater things today. And that's what we're talking about. God has done great things. God has done these awesome things. You know, my little dogs, they do some good things. My little dogs do some good things. Trust me, you're not going to come to my door without me knowing it first. Whoo, ar, all the time. I mean, they hear, I can make noise. They'll be sleeping in their bed. And I can rub on the wall or something, you know, just do something like that. They come out, man, they're looking around. And it's funny, you watch them come flying around the corner from the hallway, and the front door's this way and the back door's that way, and they'll go, ar, 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 because they don't know which way to bark yet. They know there's something out there, and they're gonna protect us. It's hilarious. So sometimes we'll just scratch the wall just to get them all excited, you know. And when it's time for bed at night, I just go, and I stand by the door of their kennel, and I bang it a couple of times, and man, they just come running and whoop, right in that kennel, and I just close the door. Hard to argue with that, you know? Most of the time, anyway. Most of the time. This kind of thing is what you show to people when you want to see, hey, watch my dogs, right? Watch what they can do. And people teach their dogs to do tricks and stuff. I tried throwing my dogs a ball. I throw the ball and they look at the ball, they watch till it stops rolling, then they look back at me like, what? But a lot of people do that stuff. They have their dogs do things like that, right? To show what they can do. And that's what this demon-possessed guy was doing when he went back to Decapolis. He was saying, look at the things that God can do. None of the Greek gods can do this stuff. This is what this God can do. And then Jesus said in verse 19, Mark 5:19, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. Do you notice the subtle shift here? The little shift from the things God did to what God is like. You see that difference there? One tells what God can do. The second one, the other one, tells what God is to you. You see the difference there? Little bit of difference there. And so we find here that this guy was to tell these things that God could do, to show these things so that people would be arrested, so that they would get their attention and understand about this God. And then, this is my God. This is who he is to me. This is how he treats me. This is the God that I serve. The psalmist said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's right. Not just that he does good things in an abstract, disconnected way, but that God is good to me. Amen. You see, This is about a relationship between us and God. This is not just about reciprocity. Are you familiar with reciprocity? You know, you scratch my back, I scratch yours, right? That's not a relationship with God. That's not how things work with God. God saved me, and so I owe him a debt I must repay. Therefore, I keep his law. You know what that's called? That's called salvation by works. But a real relationship with God is based on who he is and who you are in that relationship with him. It's a relationship that we find carried out according to the Bible, but it's based on a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so, taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 86, verse 15 says, "But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth." God is a God who loves emphatically. God loves entirely. This is the God we serve. Now, my little dogs, they're loyal to me. They're loyal to me. We can open the door. It didn't used to be this way, but it is now. We can open the door. They won't even go out. They won't go out unless we go out. If we go out, they go out. If we come in, they come in. They're loyal to follow us where we go. Does that speak volumes about a relationship there? Doesn't it? Yeah. They are loyal. They are obedient. It tells what kinds of dogs they are. Not the things they do, but the kind of dog they are. Most of the time. Okay. They're dogs. You know? They're not perfect. It's more, though, about relationship now. It's about what God would have us to do when we tell of that relationship with him and why we do it. Why we do it. Take a look now. Verse 20. Are you with me? Verse 20. And he did what? Oh, Lord, come on. Can I just come with you for a little while, please? Right? Is that what it says in verse 20? And he departed. And he departed. He left. He took off. He did not waste time fulfilling Jesus' commission. He was right on it. Wait. Was this guy baptized 30 years ago and had tons of experience? Was this guy a church member from his parents bringing him up in the church? Nope. Was this guy trained in the finest institutions of how to follow God? Nope. Did he even get a whole day? Nope, probably not. And yet he obeyed Jesus' command. Just like that. Just like that. He obeyed. He departed. And let's carry on in verse 20. He departed and did what? Began to, what's the word your Bible says? Proclaim or publish. That's right. Do you remember Jesus used that word once upon a time? Perhaps you remember Luke chapter 4, verse 18, where Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives." Was this demon-possessed man a captive of the devil? Absolutely. Jesus had proclaimed to him liberty. And this man did the work of Jesus, carrying on that same message. So then it says, he went out, he proclaimed it. Where? Where did he proclaim it? Decapolis. Decapolis. How many of you have been watching the Olympics? Watching the Olympics a little bit? Have you seen one of those Olympic events called the decathlon? Decathlon, what does that mean? What does decathlon mean? What is that deca thing? Because it's here, Decapolis, and deca meaning that decathlon, right? What is deca? Ten, that's correct. And polis, city, that's right, the 10 cities. If you have the map, you can see where those 10 cities were on your phone or your tablet or whatever it is you're looking at there. But it was 10 cities. Wait, Jesus told him to go where? Go publish this in 10 cities? Is that what Jesus told him to do? What did he say? Go home. That's right. Go home. Well, he went home, all right. He went home to his family. Then he went home to his friends. Then he went home to the city. And man, even the city wasn't big enough, so he went out to 10 cities. Oh. Whew. Can I get an amen up in here? Right. 10 cities this guy went to. And by the way, about 9 or 10 months later, you know, Jesus came back here. Jesus came back here, and you have to put a bunch of little clues together, and I don't have time, but put a bunch of little clues together, and Jesus came back here to this same area, and people who had at one time been afraid and run away because somebody here was greater than those demons, now they flocked to him, and that day Jesus fed 4,000.
My Lord.
Mm-hmm. 4,000, because Jesus had crossed the sea and talked to one demon-possessed guy. Does that speak volumes to you and I? Wow. Wow. You got a little paper in your bulletin. Pull it out for me, please. Got a little paper in your bulletin. And it has a picture of Jesus there. Sorry, it's so sketchy. And then it talks about the sermon series here. Jesus has sent us into his work as well. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Bullet point 2 there. There's a number of people studying there. You can see a few of the names listed there of people that are studying right now. Right now, people are studying so that they can find a new relationship with the Lord and a new relationship with his people. And then it says, more are waiting for the seed to be sown. There are others that might be interested in Bible studies. Several have indicated an interest from the food pantry. Elder Taylor, is that still true? There are names there that have checked the little box on your registration form saying that they want Bible studies. Right now? Sitting there waiting for somebody to come knock on their door? Right now? Will they be there next week if nobody goes? I don't know either. But there's an opportunity. Maybe you know other people who need to study and learn about Jesus. Maybe you know other people. Last bullet point there. Our next reaping series is coming up quickly each weekend in October. The gospel message will be preached from right here, right here. Pastor Florman will be here. He's the pastor of the Ewing Church. He will be right here Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, each weekend of October. He will be right here. We will be having that series right here. We're combining our efforts to bring together God's people for the finishing of this work. Do you want to go home? Yeah. Whoo! Yeah. Well, it's not all about October, I'll tell you the truth. It's not all about October. Because if we go, cool, I'll see who I can invite in October. Guess what? We're too late. Guess when we have to start inviting people? Yeah. August. August, right now. Not for the meeting, but to get to know Jesus. Yeah. To get to know Jesus. Because it starts with you telling what great things the Lord has done for you. Yeah. Isn't that how it works? Right. Because Jesus wouldn't have told this guy how to do it and told him wrong, would he? Jesus wouldn't have told the guy how to do it wrong. Right. Jesus would have told him the best way to go out there and work for him. So go and tell what Jesus has done for you. Right. When you knock on your neighbor's door. Hey, how's it going? Just wanted to spend some time with you. I've crossed the sea. Do you think it was what Jesus would have done if he had wanted to sit beside this pool in a lounge chair? To go over there and cross the sea to talk to some demon-possessed guy? No. He went there because he loved, even though it took him out of his lounge chair by the pool. He went anyway. Love drove him forward. And so he's telling us the same thing. Talk to your neighbors. Talk to your family. Tell about Jesus. That's what it's all about. Tell what God has done for you. And then, by the time October rolls around, whoo, they're asking you, when can I do something about this relationship with Jesus? When can I find out about your church? When? Wait just a minute. The meeting's starting just a week or so. Oh, come on. Yeah, come on. Just wait. Okay, you might not have to hold them off. But that's all right. They're ready. Down at the bottom is a place for you to put your name, your phone number, and your email if you can help out with this. Now, think for just a minute. This guy had been demon possessed. But even before he was demon possessed, he was a Gentile. A demon-possessed Gentile was who Jesus chose to work through. I tell you, is God awesome or what? Do you think you are less qualified than a demon-possessed Gentile? If not, then you can write down your name there. You're qualified. You're qualified. Because we serve a God who's greater than the demons, yes? A God who can do great things. A God who is compassionate and loving and full of mercy and truth, yes? He can help you out. And no, we're not going to just throw you out there and say, go home. You put your name down there, we'll hook you up with someone who knows. Put your name on that paper, and you'll notice a convenient little dotted line there to tear it off, right? Just tear that baby off right there, and I'll be waiting for it out there. When I shake your hand, you can put that little piece of paper right in my hand, okay? Fold it up, make sure it fits in my hand, okay? All right? And we'll take care of you, because God has called you to do his work. God is telling you, not because the pastor's late letting you out, but God has told you, go home. Not just because it's late, but because he's got a work for you to do. But really, you shouldn't be going home anyway. There's fellowship dinner across the way, right? So stay for fellowship dinner. And then go home. And tell people. the great things God has done for you.